Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. In Colossians chapters 1 and 2, Paul presented that a believer is completed and perfected in all the fullness of Christ living within them. There is no law or rule we can keep that's going to improve upon our salvation and our relationship with Christ. So in chapters 3 and 4, he describes then what the Christian life is really all about. We're in the third application of the truth that's presented in chapters 1 and 2. The first truth was presented to us in verses 5 through 11 of this chapter, is to put off, reject the influence of the human sin nature. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 6, when you're saved, you are delivered from its authority and power over you. It's still there. It still has influence, but you now have the power to reject its influence. The second application was in verses 12 to 17, is that we are to submit to and allow the influence of the Holy Spirit to be the influence of our life. Let me just say straight across the board, everything that we see, everything that we hear, everything that we taste, everything that we smell, everything that we experience in life is an influence over my life. So when people say, oh, is it wrong for Christians to go to the movies? Well, no matter how good or pure the movie is rated, it's still going to have an influence. It's the way it is. No matter what video game it is, it's going to have an influence. When Columbine happened in Colorado, the shooting at the school there, they noted that the shooters were involved in collecting and watching violent video games of shootings, but they said that didn't have any influence on them. Everything has an influence on me, on my children. Everything has an influence. What do I want to influence my life? What do I want my children to be influenced by? Because they will be influenced, period. Whether I believe they will or not, they will be. And so we are called, those who are saved are called to submit to the influence of the Holy Spirit who lives within and reject the influence of the human sin nature. But thirdly, in verses chapter 3, verse 18, through chapter 4, verse 1, we have the characteristics of the completed life and the commands of those of the completed life. The order of the completed life. There is an order in God's kingdom. In verses 18 of chapter 3 through chapter 4, verse 1, there are actually seven commands given. These are commands. These are not suggestions. Verse 18 says, wives, be submitting yourselves. That denotes that the command is in the present tense, which means be continually submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper in the Lord. A Our emphasis, first of all, last week is the word proper in the Lord. What's appropriate in the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, the same commands and the same teachings that are given there are saying, it also says, wives, be submitting yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. Not that the husbands are the Lord, but your submission to the husband is your submission to the Lord, because he's telling you to do it. Secondly, we learn from Ephesians 5, verse 18 through chapter 6 through 9, and in our chapter, that these commands are given not to religious people, but people who are saved, because according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit to respond to these commands. And thirdly, we saw last week and spent our time on the reason why this order is created and commanded by God. We saw from Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. After Adam and Eve had sinned, God said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply your labor pain and your pregnancy. In pain you shall bear sons. And toward your husband shall be your desire. And he himself shall rule over you." And as we explained in the examples in the very next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, the same phrases are used. But in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, when it says, "And your desire shall be for your husband," that's not a romantic desire. This desire is from out of her sin nature. She will desire to control and have authority over her husband. But God says, "But he shall rule over you," because of this in your sin nature. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, we studied how that Cain was about ready. He's contemplating killing his brother Abel. And God said to him in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, "If you do right," if you do what you're supposed to do, "will there not be exaltation? And if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is toward you." Same exact phrases. Tishukha is the Hebrew word. Its desire is to have you, control you, take you over. "But you should rule over it." Same word used in Genesis 3:16. "And he shall rule over you." God says you should rule over its desire to control you and take over you. Of course, it did. Cain gave in to the desire to kill his brother. It overtook him, took control of him, and he committed murder. So here's the Hebrew word that shows to take over and to take control of. But God's order says, "But he shall rule over you." Now today, and you should have the supplement from the back, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. That's our focus this morning for the next few moments. "To establish for us, we know the basis for all the teachings in the New Testament about submission and God's order in his kingdom." Now this again, emphasizing that this is what's right in the sight of the Lord. This is what's proper in the Lord, not what's proper and right to the world. The world's culture says this is not right. This order's not. There's even some churches that'll say, "Well, this was God's order back in Paul's day, but not in our day." And the attack today is upon the Apostle Paul and his teachings. It goes something like this. The Apostle Paul, you can tell by his teachings that he's against women. and women's equal rights. So we don't go by Paul today. He was wrong. Or that's the order of the bigots and the haters. Those Christians and their interpretation of the Bible. Well, today we're establishing something about God's order, but also about God's man that he chose. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, this is in his introduction in dealing with in Corinth about women wearing a veil to church. And if you read it out, the veil is not literally a veil, it's the woman's hair. In Corinth, the prostitutes would shave their heads and they would stand outside the temple, and that's how they would solicit and entice men to come and want their services. So Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, to the women, your long hair shows and is expressive of your submission to God's order. If you're not in submission to God's order, you might as well shave your head because you're the same as a prostitute. Pretty serious stuff. But that is the scene here. But he starts off by saying in verse 1, first of all, become imitators of me according as I also am of Christ. Doesn't sound like, well, that's in Paul's day, but we don't follow his teachings today. He says, no, you become imitators or followers of me according as I also am of Christ. He's setting himself up as the prime example of who a Christian is and what a Christian is to do. Now, the word imitator or follower, depending if you have an English text that uses the word follow, I don't like imitate because people translate that as copy. Whatever Paul teaches, you do it in the human effort. That's not what it means. Mimetai is the Greek word, and it means to mimic. A mime or mimic in Paul's day was somebody who, without words, mostly wearing a costume, would act out a message. And so what Paul is saying here is, let the expression of Christ be in you as it is in me. Paul's setting himself up to say, I have the expression of Christ. Is this the expression in your life? If you say no, then Paul says you got a problem. So become imitators of me as I am also of Christ. He said it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, I encourage you, become mimics of me. Same word. The command become, not the word be, but the word become, means that we're not that naturally, and he's focusing our attention. Let the expression of Christ become in you as it is in me. Compare. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, Paul says, now that we do not have this authority, and what he's talking about is the fact that many people in Thessalonica stopped working because they thought the coming of the Lord was any minute. Paul says, no, we went out and got jobs as a message to you. Not that we do not have the authority to not work, which we do, but in order that we might give ourselves as a pattern to you for you to imitate us, mimic. See us working? Compared to you, what are you doing? Well, you know, I get up at 10 and I just kind of, you know. We're displaying the expression of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, and you yourselves became imitators or mimics of us and of the Lord. So it's not just Paul, but it's Paul and the Lord. You see, Paul and the Lord have to be put in the same group. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says that his gospel and his message came directly from Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years out in the desert with Christ, and the revelation of Christ gave him his gospel. So what he's preaching is not his gospel, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the great thing is, you can point to Christ and say, well, he's holy and I'm not, so I can't really live up to Christ. Paul is saying, I'm just like you. Here's how I follow our Lord. So follow the Lord in the same way. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul says, be imitators together of me, brothers. And listen to this. And be observing the ones walking this way according as you have us as a pattern. That's pretty bold, very authoritative to basically say, mimic the expression of Christ in my life. Observe others and see if they have the same expression. That's the people you want to fellowship with. Those are the people you want to follow. Are the people who have the same expression of Christ. If they have a different expression of Christ, then you know it's not Christ. So first of all, in verse 1, become imitators of me according as I also of Christ. Now to further this about Paul's teaching, verse 2, now I am praising you, 1 Corinthians 11:2. Now I am praising you, brothers, because in all things you have remembered me, and according as I delivered them over to you, you are holding firm the traditions. These are not the traditions of the church or of religion. The word tradition means hand me down. Paul's saying the teachings that I have handed down. Paul's teachings are the tradition of the church. We see in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Where Paul says, but even if we or an angel from out of heaven should preach a gospel to you contrary to what gospel we preached, let him be accursed. Let him be committed to hell and destruction for all eternity. That's pretty bold. That's like me standing up here saying, hey, if anybody teaches differently or understands the Bible differently than I do, let him go to hell. You'd probably say, whoa, you can't, Brother Bill, you can't say that. Paul can. Verse 9, and as we have said before, and now again I say, if anyone should preach a gospel contrary to what you received, let him be accursed. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, he says, now we give command to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you should withdraw yourselves from every brother walking disorderly. Not according to the tradition which you received from us. Wow. That's about 99% of those who profess to be Christians that I know. Withdraw yourselves if they're not following the traditional teachings of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, we read it earlier, therefore I encourage you, become imitators of me. But in verse 17, he says, on account of this, I sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved child and faithful one in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, according as I teach everywhere and in every assembly. He sends out Timothy and says, to remind you of my ways, which I teach everywhere in every church assembly. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Paul says, what things also you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things practice, and the God of peace will be with you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9, he says, again, concerning these who are in Thessalonica not working, and he says, well, we in the gospel, we have the authority not to work because the gospel is our work. This is a side note, something we've been talking about for a couple of weeks. A misunderstanding of the teaching of Scripture about giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul says, we have all authority in Scripture and in life, even from Jesus Christ himself, to earn our living off the gospel. If you're getting the gospel, you should be supporting it. Even Jesus himself said, those who preach the gospel should live from off of the gospel. But Paul says, out of love, we don't do that because it's a financial burden to you. We don't want you to not come and hear the word just because it's a financial burden to you. But then in 2 Corinthians, he said, forgive me this wrong. We took support from other churches and from other people so that we can minister the gospel to you and not be a burden, financial burden to you. And what happens? The financial teachers come into the false teachers come into town and you give them your money. You know, the money you couldn't afford. We have a responsibility. It's just what it is. Paul used examples. Does a soldier go to war at his own expense? Even life, his scriptures teach us, but life itself teaches you. So Paul says, do we not have authority to not work like what you're doing in Thessalonica? Yes, we have that authority, but even though we have that authority, we're not going to use it because we have to be examples to you. You need to go to work and not sit home and do nothing, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Not that we do not have the authority to do this, but in order that we might give ourselves as a pattern to you for you to imitate us. I mean, these are very bold statements to make that Paul is establishing himself as a representative of Christ to us as being one of us and presenting himself and his life to us by saying, folks, this is the Christian life that I'm living. Observe people around you who say that they're Christians. Do they have the same expression of Christ in their life as I do, Paul is saying? If not, withdraw yourselves from them. Back to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, he says, become mimics of me according as I am as Christ. Secondly, that he praised them for all of their remembrance of him according as the traditions or hand-me-down teachings that he gave to them. But thirdly, and this is the emphasis of the text, now I want you to know that the head of every man, and the word man, andros, is the word for husband. The head of every man is Christ. And the head of woman is the man. Again, an heir. The husband. And the head of Christ is God. So this is God's order. God over Christ, Christ over the man, and the man over woman. We know why, because back in Genesis chapter 3, we studied it. Why is it in this order? Still, it leaves a lot of questions unanswered. Lord willing, we'll be able to answer those in the coming weeks. But as we learn from 1 Timothy chapter 2 about women taking the authority of man or even taking his place by teaching doctrine, Paul says it's because in Genesis chapter 3, the man was not in the transgression, the woman was. She was thoroughly deceived, and therefore she was in the transgression. That doesn't leave man off the hook. It means the man knew what he was doing. He wasn't deceived. He knew he was being disobedient to God. But the woman was thoroughly deceived. So as we continue on with this, keep this in mind, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16. At the end of Paul's presentation here about God's order, applying to the exhibit of that order with the woman with their long hair and men with their short hair, showing men showing that they have a covering that's Christ, and women showing by their long hair that they have a covering which is their husband, that they're in submission to God's order. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 16, Paul says, "Now, if anyone is presuming to be contentious, we ourselves have no such custom, neither the assemblies of God." There's no other teaching, biblical, Christian, whatever you want to call it, in the church or assemblies of God, there is no other custom. Paul says, this is God's order, period. No alternatives, no changes. If culture changes, these don't change. So today we wanted to establish for you that Paul makes a bold claim by saying, follow the expression of Christ as I also follow Christ. And secondly, that Paul has been established as the teacher. The scripture says he's called to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to the pagan world, non-Jewish person that's influenced by his culture and by other religious systems and teachings on the subject. To thirdly, establish God's order. God over Christ, Christ over the man over is the head of woman. Not as dictator, because verse 19, we will see the husbands love your wives. But what does that mean? It's the expression of a sacrificial love that makes decisions based on the spiritual welfare of the woman. As men, our decisions. Yeah, I want to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah. And so I'm taking the whole family with me. Okay, you're going to leave the Word of God and you're going to go where and do what? How is that being concerned about your wife and your children's spiritual welfare? It's not. Agape love is a sacrificial love that says, I'm through doing things my way. I'm going to lead myself and lead my family in the spiritual things of Christ, of what is best to be fed and influenced by God's Spirit through His Word. Period. So the pressure isn't on the wife, the pressure is on the husband. He's the leader. As I've said to my family down through the years, and I will continue to say until my last breath, I'm the one that has to stand before Christ and answer up. I can't say like Adam did, the woman that you gave me, or the kids that you gave me. I didn't choose them. You gave them to me. You know, they caused me to go astray. No such thing. I'm responsible. It's a heavy responsibility. And only I am responsible for that. So the pressure and stress is on the man. If he abuses his authority, if he does not lead his family in the things of Christ, making the proper decisions to go by the way of Christ, it's on us. But God's order is, wives, be submitting yourselves to your own husbands, as it is right in the Lord, because that's in His eyes, it's right. Or as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, wives, be in submission to your husband as the church is in submission to Christ, and wives, be in submission to your husband in everything. And you know what my next presentation is. Excuse me, Pastor, but what is everything anyway? Everything is everything, you know? Everything during the daytime, but not at night. Everything outside the home or in the home? Everything, period. This is God's order that requires the filling of His Spirit as God's people function in His order. And it's not in order to establish or set up one person above another. It's to deal with the sin problem. If we were not left in this body of sin, the order might be different. But it's this way for a reason. Or as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, which relates to the decisions this week in the Supreme Court, is that God created marriage as an example of the relationship between Christ and the church. The husband represents Christ and the woman represents the church. No Supreme Court can redefine what God has already established as what marriage is and what it's for. Neither can we. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. It is such a heavy responsibility to walk in Your order in a world that is out of order. Especially when the offerings of the world are there for us to be so easily make decisions to be out of order. But we're so thankful that we know that it takes the filling and influence and power of the Holy Spirit to live for You and to function with You. And as the text is being presented to us, we are to make decisions to submit to the influence of Your Spirit, not the influence of the human sin nature. All of this is to trust You, not human beings, but to trust You. And that You're in charge and You know what's best. And that You're leading us in a way not only to lead us in the right direction, but also to expose and exploit and deal with our own sins. Help us to see that all things are designed by You for our relationship with You and our response and service and response and submission to Christ. We pray that You would take these texts and this time together today and by Your Spirit help us to understand these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.